3-1.
If Harvick's able to clear the one of Jamie McMurray and a caution comes out, he'll be back on the lead lap.
Join us as we break down the latest news stories and race events from the three biggest divisions in motorsports.
Into the wall, then into the two. The two goes around. The caution's going to come out.
The Gander Outdoor Truck Series, Xfinity Series, and the Monster Energy NASCAR Cup Series. Will Joey Logano repeat?
It's a drag race. They're sideways. And it's going to be Logano getting the win.
Or will someone else take claim on being the next champion? It's time for the 3-Wide NASCAR Podcast with EG3. And now, here's your host, Eddie Greer III.
This is the 3-Wide NASCAR Podcast, EG3, Eddie Greer III, here with the guys, coming at you from Manhattan, Kansas, where the 3-Wide NASCAR Podcast resides. Eddie Greer III, here with the guys. Welcome into another post-race edition of the podcast. We're all about the latest in the world of NASCAR, Gander Outdoor Truck Series, the Xfinity Series, and, of course, the Monster Energy NASCAR Cup Series, the three biggest divisions in all of motorsports. Also, Big D, also checking in the EG3 garage area. We're about to talk New Hampshire. The Gander Outdoor Truck Series was off. We will dive into them here momentarily. Xfinity Cup were in action over the weekend. And we are recording this podcast on Monday, July 22nd. On which it has been, Big D, a very nice day to be exact. So 66 early this morning out on my little run in around my neighborhood. And compared to the temperatures here last week, over 100 degrees, heat advisory, all that other mess. And now we get a summer where it feels like a little bit more spring. But at least today, very nice day as we're heading towards the end of the evening. Or I should say, towards the beginning of the evening, I should say, as we are starting this podcast here just after 6:05 Central Time, the Gander Outdoor Truck Series, folks. As I said, we'll get to all the action here in just a bit. The Gander Outdoor Truck Series was off over the weekend. They return to action this weekend with a Cup Series and Truck Series. We'll be racing in the Pocono Mountains, in Pocono Raceway, and the well-debated PJ1 peanut butter and jelly is what I like to call it. The well-debated PJ1, trying to get better racing, and I'll have my stance on that later on in the podcast. But as we get our screen situated here, the last time the Gander Outdoor Truck Series took center stage was, of course, a couple weeks ago, where Tyler Ankrum stunned the Gander Outdoor Truck Series field there with a win there in fuel mileage. But to no avail, though. Ankrum had a strong truck throughout that weekend, though. Brett Moffitt was set on winning another race this summer, and then he runs out of gas, leading up to Tyler Ankrum's first win in the Gander Outdoor Truck Series race there. Of course, Stuart Friesen, who had his primary truck confiscated there, and I cannot believe this, no penalty, or I should say no further penalty was issued with the 52 truck. So that was a recent update from last week, of course, recording earlier due to me being involved with VBS, a super busy week for me last week, and that's it sealed up and in the books now, and looking forward to this week with the racing action. But yeah, so Ankrum, Friesen, Harrison Burton, and we're going to get to Harrison Burton here in a little bit. One of the bigger stories coming out of the Xfinity Series race, Ross Chastain, Dylan Lupin, your top five in review there for the Gander Outdoor Truck Series race. We take a look at the standings as they are. Grant Enfinger, no wins yet this year, and he by far, and I believe I said this the last time I was on here, last week on the post-race reaction edition of the podcast, he had an opportunity, well now, at least three or four times he's had the best truck, and he's done something foolish with the truck, of course, He and Brandon Jones got into it while leading the field, battling for the stage win, taking each other out. Invigor is still winless there. And matter of fact, speaking of Invigor, Thor Motorsports right now only has one win out of the four trucks. We talked about them earlier this year, being as strong as they are early in out of the gate. But only one win to show for it there. And of course, that's in the person of Johnny Sauter, who's been really the Sauter summer slump continues for Johnny Sauter. We'll have to see what he does out in Pocono. But uncharacteristically, yeah, the 13 truck struggling, the Ben Rhodes 99 truck right now out of the playoff picture. Matt Crafton hanging in there as well. So we take a look now. If you guys been missing out on the truck series, you better check out this race this weekend, because things, this action is heating up each race. We're getting down to it, ladies and gentlemen. This is all I've got to say here on In Bold right now. Brett Moffitt locked into the playoffs. Johnny Sauter locked in. Austin Hill has his ticket. Of course, Ross Chastain has his ticket. Ross Chastain, a wild card, in my opinion, messing things up there for likes of Ben Rhodes, Harrison Burton, and Todd Gillen, and Sheldon Creed, and all those guys right now. Invigor, Friesen, Crafton right now, or the other guys that are locked in. And this is just going to get even crazier now. Pocono, known for its strategy game, just like we saw a little bit in the Cup Series race in New Hampshire yesterday. So this is going to be one of those races, and of course, big names out of the playoff picture. I just pretty much named them. Those four guys right now, really, unless something really, really odd out of right field shows up, like a Tyler Dipple or Spencer Boyd, Jordan Anderson, and Gus Dean, you're looking at the four guys right now that I'm eyeing at: Harrison Burton, Ben Rhodes, Ty Gillen, Sheldon Creed. Sheldon Creed also had a great truck at Kentucky and did not get a job done there. He faded. He tanked pretty much there after making a lot of noise early. Just completely tanked. So Creed, he's going to have to bow up here with only a handful of races left for the trucks. Yeah, Chastain, really. And you really want to throw a wild card in here. Tyler Incomes, big time upset win. Really threw a monkey in a wrench right there. So, here, Ben Rhodes out of postseason picture right now as they stand. And of course, now, this Saturday, yes, this Saturday coming up, the Ginter RV 150 on Fox instead of FS1. Yeah, usually FS1 carries them, but Fox Sports 1, same thing, but it's on national television on Fox coming up on this Saturday. So looking at the picture now, it's only going to get crazy from here, and we'll see what happens in Pocono right there. You're in the 3-Wide NASCAR podcast. Eddie Grid, the third here with you guys tonight on this Monday night, this post-race edition of New Hampshire. And the Seabell show rolls on, and it came in hot and heavy in New Hampshire Saturday. Winner of stage one, Brandon Jones, and it's Christopher Bell just took over this race. Stage two winner, and of course, eventually ends up winning the race right there on Saturday. And I don't have the title in front of me right now. We'll get to that here in a second. But yeah, Christopher Bell, Cole Custer right now. Yeah, we talked about the big three all year long. And no offense to Tyler Reddick. Tyler Reddick was in the mix of these guys yet. But it seems like now Cole Custer, Christopher Bell, exchanging blows now as the summer rolls on. We're getting into the heat of the summertime now, and these two guys, like last year, remember the big three in the Cup Series: Harvick, Truex, Kyle Busch, Truex was winning early with them guys, but Truex kind of, you know, mellowed out a little bit toward the end of the regular season. Well, that's Tyler Reddick right now, mellowing out a little bit, while Cole Custer and Christopher Bell right now, the heavyweight battle continues with them right now. Cole Custer taking over in Kentucky 2 weeks ago, and now you get Christopher Bell exchanging the right hand on Cole Custer there and getting the job done in the Xfinity Series there in a more dominating performance there for Christopher Bell. And on top of that, we're going to a place where Christopher Bell won the first time a couple of weeks ago, or maybe less than a month ago, in Newton, Iowa, where the U.S. Cellular 250 will take place center stage on July 27th. That's Saturday. I thought that was Sunday for the longest time there, so got my calendar kind of switched up a little bit. But yeah, that's kind of, yeah, Big D shaking his head. Yes, it is a doubleheader with the trucks and the Xfinity guys, but the trucks are in Pocono while the Xfinity Series is in Newton, Iowa on Saturday. So Christian Bell will now look to sweep the season series at Iowa on Saturday. So Christian Bell, the laps led there in the, I just had the title here in a moment, just a moment ago, the Roxor 200. I hope I said that right. Out of those 200 laps, Christopher Bell did not lead 14 of those. Goodness gracious. So Bell responds to the Cole Custer fourth quarter shutdown last week. So both of those guys have 5 wins. And I believe Reddick is still with 3. I'm not 100%, not 100% sure about that, folks. But Tyler Reddick did finish 4th. But big news coming out of that camp from the family side of things, as Tyler Reddick and his girlfriend are expecting, I don't know the exact month right now. I don't have the full details in front of me, but big news for them. So congratulations to those guys there. But Bell taking the wood, taking it was Christopher Bell taking them to the woodshed here. In this case here, Christopher Bell said his name a few more times. Bell, Cole Custer, Justin Allgaier, Tyler Reddick, and Paul Menard. Get to him in just a second here. Paul Menard from the Cup Series trying to mix it up with the Xfinity, and he literally did that there in the 5th spot we're in. Big D is asking, we'll take a break, and we'll do that here after we round up this rest of this top 10 here. Chase Briscoe, Ryan Truex, Ryan Sieg, Brandon Jones, and Noah Gregson round out the top 10 in this race right there. So Bell, another win at his 5 now on the year. Continues to rack it up in 2019. So, and we will get to Harrison Burton and Paul Menard on the other side of our first intermission of the night. And of course, we'll throw in this here real quick, this social media update real quick. 3Y NASCAR Podcast with EG3. You can find it wherever you download your podcast, obviously. Audio Boom, Spotify, Stitcher, Google Play, Apple Podcasts, and of course that giveaway. Nice transition here. Giveaway is still live, and I'm just gonna tell you this right now, ladies and gentlemen. If you've been listening to the 3Y NASCAR Podcast with EG3 since the beginning of the year, or you've been just in and out, or you've been tuning in for the very first time, please tell your friends, get the word out, spread the word out. Tell them, please leave us a 5-star rating. That would be tremendous from you guys. This is part of the giveaway. We would like 50 5-star ratings and only 10 reviews. Now, only 10 written reviews. Get it done. And of course, the EG3 Twitter handle is at EG3_fast. Eddie again, at EG3_fast. Eddie, get on that right now. Tell your friends, and we can achieve those goals Once those goals have been achieved, EG3, yours truly, will give out two diecasts of my choice, which they should be coming in here in a couple of weeks. So definitely excited for that. And I'm not going to review that, since looking at iTunes, we are still hanging around that number. So again, guys, I'm telling you right now, please, I mean, we're not trying to be famous. I'm not trying to be famous on the show. We're just trying to get the word out that podcasts in the Midwest exist. A racing NASCAR podcast, that the EG3 show, 3-watt NASCAR podcast. Spread the word. Tell your friends. Retweet it. Do what you need to do. Tell your friends to get on board. 3-watt NASCAR podcast with EG3. The action's heating up, and we're getting ever so closely to deciding in all three divisions who will compete for the championships later this fall. All right, folks, time to take a timeout here on the 3-watt NASCAR podcast with EG3. And I've been teeing this up for you guys. Paul Menard. What did he do wrong? Find out next on the 3-Wide NASCAR podcast comes back.
This is a quick pit stop. The 3-Wide NASCAR podcast with EG3 will be right back after a word from our sponsors.
NASCAR podcast rolls on here on this Monday night. 3-Wide NASCAR podcast, Eddie Gritter III, aka EG3, here with a New Hampshire breakdown of the weekend. First segment, we broke down the results of the Xfinity Series Roxor 200, and of course talked about the Gainer Outdoor Truck Series early on in this post-race edition of the podcast. And now, Paul Menard. Like I got teed it up earlier, Paul Menard, and no, I did not. I listened to some of this race on PRN. I did not get to watch all the race because of trying to help a friend move. And tried to help a friend move all day Saturday, so I did not watch it. But afterwards, when I get home to watch the replays, watch of certain at action from this race, this was the most popular of them all. Big D, we're talking about Paul Menard in the Cup Series here, making a I shouldn't say rare appearance, making another appearance in the Xfinity Series. Last time we saw Menard double dabble in this Xfinity Series, it came right here, not right here, but it was in Michigan, where he had a fast car, and I believe he faded late in this race, at MIS a few weeks back, right? All right, so Harrison Burton, he and Paul Menard were really going at it, and I can't remember what stage was this. I believe this was late in this race. Harrison Burton was making a late run in this Xfinity Series race. Of course, Harrison Burton, we talked about him in the Gainer Outdoor Truck Series. He's going to have to make something happen if he is going to get KBM in a Truck Series playoffs. But Burton was trying to make something happen over the weekend. These two were making contact with one another. And then Paul Menard got fed up with it, apparently. And Menard gets into the quarter panel of Harrison Burton. And Harrison Burton ends up in the turn two wall and pretty much kills his opportunity of probably a good finish there. And no, he didn't have a race winning car there, but certainly though had a top five car, definitely had a top five car there. Harrison Burton had words with the Grizzly veteran and Paul Menard there. So Menard does not see eye to eye with Harrison Burton. These two and Harrison Burton afterwards saying in one of the interviews saying, well, I'm just going to go ahead and just beat him on the racetrack. So Harrison Burton there, of course, we saw him in the Xfinity Series race back at Iowa a few weeks ago. I don't know. Well, obviously he's not going to be there this time because he needs to be focused once again going back to the Truck Series again. But again, Paul Menard making a mess in the Xfinity Series. And I know Harrison Burton is not racing for points in this series, but yet, it's a quality of short track racing from Mies, in this case here, a veteran, and then you got a youngster with a bright future, looks like, ahead of him, and Harrison Burton, an absolute talent. So, and with the age difference here, it's gotta be, if I gotta have a wild guess at it right now, gotta say 15, 20 years, with, of course, Paul Menard, you know, being that 21 rod, and of course, he made news in the Cup Series that he does have, he will be back next year, so there was that for Menard with the Wood Brothers there, and he gets in a little dust up there with Harrison Burns. So these two, I find that kind of funny. This instance here, Harrison Burton really speaking out his mind there and not afraid to approach a veteran. Where did I see this from? Come from? This was a while back. I can't remember which driver it was, but again, no, it was actually a couple weeks ago with the William Byron Brad Keselowski incident in practice. We're talking about practice with these guys, so. Again, this is a different situation, though. This is in race conditions here. Harrison Burton passing Paul Menard. I guess Paul Menard did not like that at all. And the way these guys were going at it. And that was big news coming out of the Xfinity Series. So I wanted to draw that attention. So I wonder what Paul Menard's next race is going to be in the Xfinity Series. I don't know that for sure. All I know is that there were some hurt feelings between the two after the Roxor 200, you're listening to 3-Wide NASCAR Podcast with EG3 in the building, along with Big D here in the EG3 studios here. You guys are going to have to bear with me throughout the rest of the show. I'm going to try to get through it here as clean as I can here. So, yeah, battle a little sinus issue here. So, just want to let you guys know that, so we're trying to get power through the rest of the show. So kind of not myself here at the moment, but of course we'll try to get through this together. So appreciate you guys bearing in with me as usual for the Throughout NASCAR Podcast. Now finally we reach yesterday's race, the Foxwoods Casino Resort 301 yesterday, and again I was in and out of this race yesterday, but I finally got to see quite a bit of action. I actually, Big D, got to see the last 55 laps in this one. I listened to quite a bit of it on PRN, so I know what's going on. So I just wanted to be honest. So definitely, again, like the Xfinity Series race, got home. Well, actually, in between the Braves, Nationals baseball game, and trying to watch videos of highlights of Stenhouse, Truex. We'll get to that here as we move along to Foxwood Casino 301 report here, folks. And Stuart Haas Racing is on the board for 2019. It took how many races? It took 20 races. 20 races exactly. And whoever would have thought or would have predicted that it'll take the 20 race of the 2019 year to get Stuhos on the board after what they all accomplished last year, nobody would have gotten this right. I'm pretty sure of that. Nobody would have gotten this right at all. So the situation set itself up, and PRN, who had this race on radio yesterday, they're really amped up that Denny Hamlin was dominating this race, and he looked good for sure there. Denny Hamlin, oh yeah, by the way, he was one of four cars that had to start in the rear of the field due to going to the backup car, and New Hampshire ate up some cars over the weekend. William Byron had to go to the backup. Kyle Larson had a rough weekend. He had to go to a backup. Alex Bowman, not once, but twice, wrecked all of his cars. Had to borrow a car from the 48 of Jimmy Johnson to get back on the racetrack there. And he managed to get that finish in the top 15. So that was kudos there for Alex Bowman to do that right there with the backup of Jimmy Johnson's race car. So that was very fortunate there for Alex Bowman right there. But the situation at hand, ladies and gentlemen, got home to see the last 55 laps unfold. Of course, the caution set this up. Denny Hamlin setting sail. Caution comes out. And Rodney Childers, of course, I mean, you got to gamble at this point of the year, trying to get playoff points. It's all about wins at this point in the season. And I'm with a few others on this. I'm surprised more than, because Truex, I know, stayed out on the racetrack. Can't remember who was the other car. Eric Jones stayed out, and he dodged a bullet there, not putting all four of his tires below the commitment, the orange commitment box there. And yeah, the replay shows that he didn't do that. So Eric Jones there, he thought for sure that he was going to be penalized, go to the back, which would have been devastating because Eric Jones was moving along pretty well yesterday and was running really great and finished third for the second straight week. Eric Jones rolling right now. He's one of those guys that's hanging around that cutoff line here with six to go in the regular season. So Eric Jones, Truex, and Harvick stay out while Hamlin and others go into pits. And yeah, I did not see, again, with the PJ1 issue and all of that. I mean, tires, again, for the second straight week, I don't think played a huge factor in this race. But the surprising decisions. Three cars only stay out with a rest pit. And passing again. And New Hampshire is tough to pass on. Kentucky. I mean, up until last week, Kentucky was one of the more difficult race tracks to pass on. And it still is. But we got a great race out of it. A great finish, last week out of that. The Busch brothers going at it. And then you go here to New Hampshire where, yeah, track position. Again, track position is key everywhere in this instance. So you got that going for yourself there in that point of time. And, yeah, three cars stay out. So Harvick there leading the race there. Hamlin trying to get his third win of the year. Actually was in position to get his third win of the year before the caution came out. And Harvick was in the battle last year with Kyle Busch. Rewind last year to Kyle Busch, Kevin Harvick. Harvick, the Hunter. And Kyle Busch trying to get away from him. And y'all know what happened there. So you fast forward to yesterday. Denny Hamlin trying to get win number three in whole how boy. When you talk about the playoff points, yeah, we're all focusing on that bubble right now in the Cup Series with the Larson, the Jimmy Johnson, the Ryan Newman, the Boyers, the Eric Jones. And you turn away, you look at Harvick. He's had a couple stage points this year. And you have Denny Hamlin. Two wins already. You're looking for a third. And oh, how big this is. As Big D, would you switch it over to the Cup playoffs here for a second here as we get in here. So you look at that. This is a huge swing. You're talking about Denny Hamlin. Could have 5 more points, but instead you give it to Harvick. And not only that, I listened to for the first time since this podcast came out, Jeff Gluck and Jordan Miyake's little podcast they got going on for The Athletic called A Teardown. This is the first time I listened to it since they started that podcast out. So I'm kind of behind on that, but I wanted to see how it sounded and everything else. And I mean, these guys are talking about Denny Hamlin racing scared. And I pretty much agree with them. In his instance, now racing scared, well, Denny Hamlin did not want to hurt Kevin Harvick's feelings or whatnot by moving him out of the way. Damn it, this is short track racing. You gotta do what you gotta do. Yes, Denny Hamlin, and for what it's worth, he was probably still thinking about Chase Elliott a couple years ago. With that whole situation going down in the postseason where everything was on the table, and you guys know what happened there. For those of you who don't, Chase Elliott was leading, and Hamlin just dumped Chase Elliott into turn 3, and then, yeah, all commotion from there. But hey, you got to do what you got to do. And this here is a 5-point swing in favor of Kevin Harvick. Harvick likes this stuff, you know. And he pretty much said that right there in the interviews, talking with other media folks, that you know what you're going to get from Kevin Harvick. You know, if he's second, he's going to do what he has to do to win. If he's leading, he's going to do whatever he has to do to keep the lead away from the second place run. In this case here, Harvick, Childress makes the call. Harvick did all he could to hold off Denny Hamlin, which he did. Denny Hamlin did try to knock him out of the way, and he did not do it hard enough. I mean, Denny Hamlin, he got to get up on the wheel and get up after. I mean, you cannot play nice and then after the fact. And Big D, did you not hear? Did I hear a cuss word on national TV toward the end of that interview? Yeah, like yesterday. I believe I did. The S word. Not going to say it right now on this podcast. We're going to leave that out for you guys to figure that out yourself. But I believe he said a cuss word on national television, and he was pissed, mad at himself for not doing it. And he should be, because you can't play nice. He made a big mistake in playing nice. You can't play scared. I mean, yeah, you did. I mean, yeah, that's a couple years ago with Chase Elliott. You didn't want to hurt him feelings and whatnot. You're being too nice. This is not the beginning of the race. We're talking about less than 10 to go, and you were the lead dog, and nobody talked about Harvick in the PRN broadcast. Nobody talked about this dude all day long. At least when I was listening to most of the coverage on the PRN coverage there yesterday, nobody even mentioned his name. Up until the point that Childers, you know, oh, I don't know, you know, we're going to try all, give it all we got right here, you know. That's a guy that seems like that's a call where we got a couple wins in the back already. We're just going to go ahead and see if we can get some more plot points. That's what that felt like yesterday. Rodney Childers acting like we got a couple wins, which in theory, they didn't have any wins going into this race. So yeah, everybody's been talking it up in NASCAR podcast, Race Hub, NASCAR America. When's Harvick going to win? When's Stuart Haas race going to win? When's Harvick going to win? Including yours truly, yeah. When is Stuart Haas going to break through? When? We've heard it. We've heard it all summer up until now. Childers made the call, and if this gets Harvick going in the right decision, look out. This is a huge, huge mistake on Denny Hamlin. He should have did it harder. And you know the situation going in that, I mean, for all it's worth here, you're trying to win your first championship. We're talking about Denny Hamlin now. We're not talking Harvick in this situation. We know what Harvick's going to do. His tough mind itself, right? So he goes, has Denny Hamlin got soft? I think he got soft. I mean, you can't, that this is some early, this is This is some early win, early in the race mess. Playing too nice, scared to get hit. I mean, this is short track racing. And Denny Hamlin should be upset at himself for not doing it hard enough. And if he does what Kevin Harvick did to Kyle Busch last year, moves him up the racetrack, does the PGA one hold Harvick? We don't know that because Denny Hamlin did not do it hard enough. So that's just Denny. That's Denny's fault right there. Yeah, you know, he wants fans on his side, whatnot, because, you know, of the whole Chase Elliott situation, blah, 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 all this other stuff. But again, this is a chance to add to your playoff total. I mean, Denny Hamlin's won the 500 this year and won Texas. And this is 5 points miss for Denny Hamlin. This could have been a 5-point swing and could have gotten himself a little bit closer once the points reset. But instead, you get those points to Harvick, which up until now, he won a couple of stage, got a couple of stage points in here. This is a 3-wide podcast, by the way, with EG3, Eddie Griffith, third here. About a little sinus infection here, but I'm fired up, and I feel better already just talking about this already. So, appreciate you guys checking in the 3-Wide NASCAR podcast. But again, you can't, in this situation, you got to dig down and get after it. You just can't play nice like that in a situation where you're trying to get a win here. Not only that, but this is Denny Hamlin. This was, at one point, again, flat tracks, Denny Hamlin style. And we saw that. This was vintage Hamlin yesterday, except for the finish, where apparently he didn't want to get hit with the whole situation there. He didn't want to get hit when he took the lead away from Harvick and all this. I believe Denny Hamlin gave away this race. And that aspect right here, Denny Hamlin led over 100 laps in this race, 113 to be exact. Kevin Harvick basically leading the last 41 laps in this race to steal a win and get on the board in 2019. Wow, unbelievable. Meanwhile, Harvick's teammates, well, that's another story in this instance here. Clint Bowyer, and oh boy, I got a lot of tweets on this one here. I did not see, like I tweeted this last night with one of my Truex friends, and I did not see the Truex Bowyer incident until, you know, during the Braves Nationals game. I had a chance to look at some of the footage there of some of the wrecks there. And yeah, I just don't know what happened there. That's 3-wide, Bowyer, somebody else below him, and Bowyer apparently tried to clear Truex there late in stage two, and then I'm surprised where Truex finished that stunned. He finished, again, he was one of the cars that stayed out there in that situation. I'm very surprised he finished sixth, Truex did. That's usually a game changer for Truex there. He's usually done in that instance there, but somehow, you know, came back, fought his way back from that, and finished in a sixth spot there. Lost a couple of spots on that final restart there, but that's an attaboy there for 19th team of Martin Truex Jr. there. Bowyer on the other side, well, after that strong run at Kentucky, well, he's the last car on the bubble. And the last time I checked that cutoff list there, he was 17 out of 17th, which I believe Jimmy Johnson is the first car out of the playoff bubble right there. So, a big name driver, and I believe I said this earlier this year, somewhere in the last few weeks, somewhere in there, and we're about to take our last break here on the 3-Wide NASCAR podcast, EG3, but Bowyer is the final car in if the playoffs were to start today. Wow. So, Bowyer's summer swoon continues, really, in the way of bad luck for him there. So, and then Truex, I guess, Bowyer had some words via car. So that was not a good situation for Bowyer there to get himself involved in that. Suarez, he had an up and down day there, scoring stage points in stage one. And oh, by the way, that's a lap track fantasy update there. And I don't know what the hell I was thinking there, picking Suarez. And I was picking him because of the momentum factor. Again, I'm trying to think about trying to get points in a situation there. But apparently, he and Daniel Hemric got involved in a little spinorama there in stage two. Cost him dealing there. And then we go back to the feud we saw at Las Vegas earlier this year. Stenhouse, Jones go at it again. This time in a different location. Stenhouse gets the worst of it. And then he mentions in the post-race interview there, Erik Jones got one coming. Well, will it be at Bristol? I'll have to find out about that. Because right now, Erik Jones is rolling right now. So there's that. But another card I want to mention here, and then we'll take our final timeout of the night, is Matty D. Matt DiBenedetto. Apparently, strong, very strong qualifying run on Friday, and then backs it up in the practice sessions, and then, of course, and then I'm thinking, of course, all right, 95's got some here a little bit, right? All right, so, and then comes back, backs up the practice runs there with a strong top five finish from Matty D, getting it done once again. It's 95. I mean, again, it's short track racing, and I'm going to be interested to see what this 95 does when we go back to Bristol in a few weeks. This is great for Matty D, and you talk about a wild card here. I'm starting to think this 95 could really play havoc in that. I mean, we got another short track coming. I mentioned Bristol again. So, who knows? And then, of course, we got Watkins Glen here in a few weeks as well. So, Matty D trying to get himself right. And Mike Wheeler doing a nice job here. So, again, we're going back to some of these tracks here. Maybe this 95 can carry some of the speed in the Pocono here coming up this weekend. So, Matty Benedetto, tremendous job in that 95 Toyota there. He's been getting a lot of heat and still getting a lot of heat. Of course, Christopher Bell coming back to Julius Racing next year. While Christopher Bell tearing it up in the Xfinity Series for the second straight year, Matty D is finding some solid footing for Levine Family Racing. And he was up there from majority of the race in the top 10 throughout this race here. So, have they found solid footing? I think they have. So, and I think the struggle here for this race team is a mile and a half, 2 mile. If they can get right that ship a little bit, try to transfer that short track speed, that road course speed, on a mile and a half, 2 mile track speed, there's no, I mean, Benedetto could be a threat. He could be an upset winner here, but that's why I circled Bristol on the list here, because he runs well there, and he's awfully competitive there, so we'll have to see what happens moving forward. But yeah, that 95 caught my attention once again yesterday, and he ran in the top 10 pretty much all race long there, and ended up finishing in the fifth spot, one spot ahead of his JGR neighbor in Martin Truex Jr. Speaking of which, JGR, all their cars finish in the top 10. Hamlin second, Erik Jones third. DiBenedetto, let's just go ahead and throw him in there, fifth. Truex Jr. sixth. And Kyle Busch, who also led over 100 laps in this race, 118 to be exact. Toyota's Playground. Yeah, you know, Steve LaTarte. One more thing, Big D, and we'll go to break, folks. Ladies and gentlemen, you know, Steve LaTarte, Tana, New Hampshire has been Toyota's Playground. It has been. But once again, we're finding Ford in victory lane. That in the person of Kevin Harvick, back-to-back New Hampshire for the second straight year. Kevin Harvick involved in a bump-and-run situation. I'm going to call this a failed bump-and-run attempt by Hamlin. Harvick holding off the bump-and-run move on Hamlin to pick up a critical first win of the year for Stuart Haas Racing in 2019. Wow. We'll take our final intermission break of the night. We'll come back. We'll run it down. EG3 helmet stickers. And I got something something to get off my chest here, and it's not racing related. We'll get to that next on the 3Wide NASCAR podcast rolls along.
This is a quick pit stop. The 3Wide NASCAR podcast with EG3 will be right back after a word from our sponsors.
The 3Wide NASCAR podcast grooving along here in the MHK Manhattan, Kansas. The 3Wide NASCAR podcast, all about the latest in the world of NASCAR, rolling along on this post-race edition of the podcast. EG3 here with you guys, continuing to break down what took place in New Hampshire. Of course, Christopher Bell once again putting the field to shame in the Xfinity Series, while Kevin Harvick holds off Denny Hamlin's bump and run attempt to win his second straight New Hampshire race. And not only that, more importantly, getting Stuart Haas Racing in the four team on the board in 2019. Let's break it down for the folks listening to this podcast. Starting from the back, Daniel Hemric involved with the 41 of Daniel Suarez. Hemric, RCR, rough weekend for this bunch. Hemric, dead last. Stenhouse, trying to get into the playoffs. This is not going to get it done for him. 36. Austin Terrio making an appearance, 35th. David Reagan, 34th. Kyle Larson, a part of that bubble as well, 33rd. Austin Dillon, summer struggles, or I should say summer luck, bad luck continues, 32nd. Quinhoff, 31st. Jimmy Johnson, I don't know, he's going to make the playoffs this year, 30th. And an interesting stat on him that I found out, or I should have already known this, but 30th for Jimmy Johnson. Chase Elliott, I'm just looking at this for the, honestly, folks, for the first time. Chase Elliott, 29th position. Where did that come from? I have no idea. Wow, that's stunning. Andy Seuss in the 51 this week, 28th. Reed Sorensen, 27th. Landon Castle, 26th. Ross Chastain there in a 25th spot right there. Driving the 15 this week. Matt Tiff finished 24th. Corley Joy finished in the 23rd spot. Bubba Wallace come home in 22nd. Ryan Preece, who dominated this racetrack in the modifieds, his first attempt in a cup car, comes home in the 21st spot. Clint Bowyer finished 20th after contact with Martin Truex Jr. Daniel Suarez, 19th. Kurt Busch, 18th. Michael Mundell, 17th. Ty Dillon, 16th. Chris Buescher in the 15th spot. Alex Bowman in his third car of the weekend, 14th. Paul Menard, 13th. William Byron, 12th. Eric Almirola, they are just outside the 11th, the top 10, and 11th. Oh, by the way, he was the winner of stage 2, I believe. I'm pretty sure that is right, because he got a chuckload of points. Kyle Busch won the other stage there in that case. So Eric Almirola just outside the top 10. Your top 10 from the Fox Resorts Casino 301 includes Penske's Brad Keselowski, who led 12 laps in this one, finished 10th position after starting on the pole in this race. Joey Logano finished 9th. He had a quiet 9th day yesterday. Kyle Busch led the most laps in this race, 8th. Ryan Newman. How many times? All right. And we have seen, this has become a weekly thing now with Ryan Newman. Ryan Newman in the PRN broadcast, and I thought Ryan Newman was going to be cooked with issues with, and I can't remember this off the top of my head right now, but Newman issues, they had to hoot up on this car at one point. Huge top 7 finish for him. If he somehow makes the postseason, circle this one, ladies and gentlemen. Ryan Newman in the 7th spot. Mark Trish Jr., as I mentioned, 6th earlier. Matthew Benedetto, 5th. The other Penske car had a great weekend in Ryan Blaney. In the 4th spot, Eric Jones, another strong. And it's going to be a matter of time for Eric Jones. And I will not be surprised Eric Jones gets in the victory lane here very soon. And more importantly enough, Pocono, to be exact, for Eric Jones in this bunch. So I'm looking for him to really make noise when the Cup Series go up there this weekend. And we already talked about the top 2 finishers there. Denny Hamlin, a missed opportunity to get more playoff points. And Kevin Harvick, ding, stealing those playoff points away from Denny Hamlin there. Getting a big win, not only for the 4 team of Ronnie Childers, but kudos, really, you can give 75% of this win to Ronnie Childers, making the call there. Kevin Harvick did the rest. Hit off Denny Hamlin and hit off the failed bummer up and run attempt there, scoring a big win there. So that's 5-point swing there, like I said in the last segment there. So that's a full look rundown from the race there yesterday. We take a look at the original standings first there, and we're just going to focus on the first two because it is a landslide between Kyle Busch and Kevin Harvick, who's in third in the regular season standings. Logano, Kyle Busch. Logano leads the regular season standings by only 3 to Kyle Busch. This is going to be a battle all the way down to the end of the checkered flag, at least on the regular season side, with Indianapolis. So that's going to be something to keep an eye on there. But now the playoff picture, as it looks right now, we had first-time winners this year in the past, 3 races? I mean, if you want to put Justin Haley in there, which I'm including him in there, but yeah, Justin Haley not in, oh man, that, speaking of him, we will end the show on that. We'll get to that here toward the end of the show. I almost forgot about that until I said his name, so yeah, we'll get to that here towards the end of the show here, as we're about to wrap up here in a little bit. But yeah, so Kurt Busch locked in. Now Kevin Harvick is locked in and pretty much up there in the thick of things right now. So you look at this right now. Oh yeah. So at least in the revised standings, at least, Bowyer, Eric Jones, Newman, and I don't know, looking at NASCAR.com's playoff scheme, I don't know why Bowyer's ahead of Jones and Newman. I just don't understand that right there. But according to that, Bowyer, to NBC's list there, Bowyer was the last guy in. Jimmy Johnson, the first guy out. Who would have thought, your right mind, Jimmy Johnson would be teetering on the edge of missing the playoffs? And since Jimmy Johnson's been in the Cup Series, he has not missed a postseason. Well, you know, 6 races to go, you gotta be worried a little bit, because Kevin Mindering, Jimmy Johnson, we would thought by now, you know, work some of that kicks out a little bit. But you take a look at this right now, bubble drama is in the air right now for this team. And Kyle Larson, yeah, you're looking at that right now also. So I'm gonna have to look at NBC's list again here, but at least for right now though, yeah, Clint Bowyer, yeah, Kyle Larson had trouble there. I mean, yeah, he, last time we were at Pocono, Larson won both stages and, you know, had trouble late in this race. So again, every point to this point critical as we continue to move deep in this run here. So this is getting interesting. Newman is being Newman. I mean, everybody's saying it, I'm saying it, Also in the 3-Wide NASCAR podcast, Ryan Newman doing what he needs to do. And right now, he is getting 100 max percent effort. The other side of that coin, folks, Jimmy Johnson, that race team right now, ain't giving effort right now. So, I mean, for whatever momentum was gained from Chicagoland, I thought for sure coming off of Chicagoland that Jimmy Johnson, all right, you got this momentum. You ran very strong at Chicagoland. Not only that, you're battling for the lead with them boys, Alex Bowman, Harvick, Chase Elliott, and them guys, and you lay duds the last two races. Gotta be disappointed for this race team right now, going to Pocono. And yes, Pocono gives you a little hope that, hey, you can play the strategy game here where you need points. I mean, I don't understand. I just don't understand it. And yeah, you might as well throw in Pocono with the road course. And we're going to be asking our special guest when we record our interview this week with a returning guest to the podcast. That's a perfect transition. And tomorrow, I'm supposed to be recording our interview this weekend with one of our boys this weekend. So I'm really excited to talk with, and I'm going to short his last name here, his name, Zach Cernolo, of course. He was on the podcast last year when we talked Pocono, and he will be back in a shorter version now, but we will have it on a separate interview this weekend. I'm very pumped up to talk to him, and I'm going to ask him about what he was thinking when asking Kyle Busch about the package. Package over a month ago, so I'm definitely getting, and he just got a new gig with Front Stretch, so he's doing that whole thing. He's been busy, so very fortunate to have him back on the podcast, and we'll have that interview up this week. Later on this week, it'll probably be either Thursday or Friday, somewhere in there. Of course, you can catch this interview, this post-race edition of the podcast, on our usual day on Wednesday. So, very pumped up to have him on the podcast. So, Jimmy Johnson right now, you need every point you get. I don't know what Kevin Minnery is thinking right now, but these stage points are critical to you either getting in or missing out on the playoffs. So Jimmy Johnson has not missed a postseason. That is crazy. And he's six races away from missing out. And we talked about, you know, chasing eight, whatnot. You know, he made the playoffs last year. But, of course, trying to make that move last year in Roval, didn't get it done. And he was ousted from the playoffs. And now, almost a year later, we're talking about this cat, the seven-time champ that he is in Jimmy Johnson, possibly missing the playoffs? Stay tuned, ladies and gentlemen. You're listening to 3-Wide NASCAR Podcast EG3. That's pretty much a tie. We're going to put a bowl to that. To New Hampshire, it's a wrap there. Kevin Harvick, Christian Bell, your winners this weekend right there. In the mix, of course. Yes, spring training, real quick. Spring training. Why did I say spring training? I mean, training camp. Training camp for football is officially underway. I'm very excited for football season to get here and get here fast. So we'll have football talk back in the mix here on the podcast here. We're running short on time quickly. But yeah, that's pretty much there. Falcons getting started today there. Dan Quinn pumped up. Yeah, I'm pumped up as well, of course. Media Day, Big 12 Media Days happened last week. So that's why I said busy week last week for me with K-State and a new head coach, Chris Kleiman, Skyle Thompson, and others going down to Arlington for Media Days. Excuse me, for the Big 12 conference there. So I find that pretty much exciting there on all fronts there. And of course, there's low expectations for the K-State team heading in this year. So, I mean, we'll just have to find out what Chris Kleiman, coming off all those national championships, what he does with, you know, this roster that Bill Snyder left for him. So, there's that as well. Of course, Lap Track Fantasy, I'm all over the map here. As we wrap up the post-race edition of the podcast, thank you guys for tuning in to tonight's post-race edition of the podcast here. Just a couple of minutes and we will be wrapped up here. I mentioned Daniel Suarez was my cup pick mistakenly. There, unfortunately, there only 19 points there on that end. Cole Custer was the other pick there, finishing in second spot and getting 47 points there. And I believe it's a triple header week with, of course, Pocono and Iowa for the Xfinity Series. So this might be the last straw here for me here, as we need, as I try to make a last ditch effort here. Speaking of last ditch efforts here, do I have a run into me here? Again, I don't have control of these cars. I mean, it's out of your hands when you pick these things. So yeah, so I mean, it is what it is there. But I also have another fantasy to play here. Wrecking and Racing have their podcast going on as well. Make sure you tune in to them as well. I've been playing catch up this whole year. I started a little late, so Ryan Blaney and Mark Trest Jr. picked me up some good points here. 73 points, so more than the lap track picks there. So I'm interested to see. That should put me over 1,000 in a Wrecking and Racing Fantasy League there. So excited to see where that goes. So that's an all-year thing there, and probably going to maybe miss in the playoffs more than likely, obviously, for the lap track fantasy. But hopefully, in that instance here, my goal is to finish strong here these last 6 weeks. And so hopefully I can get that accomplished. EG3 helmet stickers, let's get it rolling here, Big D. It's time for our 3-wide EG3 helmet stickers of the week, beginning in the Xfinity Series. And I changed it up a little bit, actually, because obviously all the talk's been on the Big 3. Yeah, Christopher Bell, Cole Custer, mainly trying to string themselves out a little bit from Tyler Reddick a little bit now this summer. I got Chase Briscoe this week, EG3 helmet sticker. Ryan Truex, EG3 helmet sticker. He was the guy in the 8 car this week for Junior Motorsports. And Ryan Sieg, EG3 helmet sticker from the Xfinity Series race on Saturday. And, of course, yesterday's Cup race, Kevin Harvick, Ryan Blaney, Alex Bowman, EG3 helmet stickers this week. And our honorable mention this week belongs to the 95, Matt DiBenedetto, EG3 helmet stickers this week from New Hampshire. Break it down one more time. Bowman, Blaney, Harvick, DiBenedetto, Ryan Truex, Sieg, and Briscoe, EG3 helmet stickers this week. And something that I got to get off my chest this real quick here is, should I do it now or should I wait until I record tomorrow with Saxer? Yeah, I should wait tomorrow. Yeah, I should do that. So we're pretty much out of time there. EG3 helmet stickers of the weekend, of course. Yes, the Cup Series. Those of you who want information on that, let me give it to you right now before we wrap up the show here tonight from Manhattan, Kansas. Of course, the Cup Series. Ginner RV 400 on NBCSN. MRN has coverage of this race at this 2 local time start here, 3 o'clock Eastern time on NBCSN. And I'll save that rant until with the Zach Sir interview tomorrow. So stay tuned for that. As well, we're pretty much out of time here on the 3-Wide NASCAR podcast. Big D, thanks for what you have done so far this year. Appreciate your hard work. Thank you guys for listening to the 3-Wide NASCAR podcast. And I mentioned Justin Haley earlier, just a few moments ago, and we're going to end on a down note here tonight on the 3-Wide NASCAR podcast. I cannot believe I almost forgot this, but after the Xfinity Series race, I don't know all the details, obviously, right now, obviously, I'm still trying to wrap around this stunning news myself here. Nick Harrison, and this was Nick Harrison, and I just watched, I don't know him personally, he was the crew chief for Justin Haley for Colleague Racing. Of course, Colleague Racing celebrating a huge, big-time victory a couple weeks ago at Daytona. This guy was so excited to try to get Justin Haley in victory lane not too far long ago. And Nick Harrison, who was the crew chief of Justin Haley, suddenly passed away after the Xfinity Series race over the weekend. Stunning, sad news coming out of the Xfinity Series. So I wanted to get get that in there. So, ladies and gentlemen, please keep the Harrisons in your prayers this week. Stunning news coming out of the Xfinity series. So, we're going to leave it right there. Eddie Greer III saying thank you for tuning in to the NASCAR podcast. But, yeah, stay tuned later this week. Zach Sturr from the Pocono Record and Front Stretch will be joining me as well. And, yeah, you might want to stay tuned for kind of a rant. And it's not involved with NASCAR. That will be thrown in with the Zach Sturr interview. We're going to be talking New Hampshire and getting you set for Pocono. But we will leave you in a moment of silence for Nick Harrison.
Spotify, and more. We'll see you next time going three wide.